Brian Noonan in for Ro Khan and Anna DeVellantes. We'll be talking to Troy Murray momentarily. Our conversation with Troy is sponsored by Chicago's own Nuveen. Troy, of course, in San Jose with the team. The Blackhawks take on the San Jose Sharks tonight. Pregame with Judd Sirott at 8:30. The puck drops at 9 with John and Troy. The Hawks looking to bounce back after getting their butts handed to them in Vancouver the other night. 5-0. They're 2-for-2 on the circus trip, and the Blackhawks still lead the Western Conference. So we'll talk to Troy. I don't know if we panic about what we saw the other night, Sam, or if we just say, you know what, every team has on games and off games, and it just so happened that everybody seemed to be off on Monday, not just Corey, who's been playing phenomenal all season. But everybody was a little bit off to the point where Corey's basically said, yeah, I just didn't have it tonight.
Joel Quenneville doesn't want to hear that
no.
This will happen, though. And it will happen. Yeah. And they lost 4-0 the first game of the trip last Tuesday at Winnipeg. Then they beat Calgary, beat Vancouver, lost to Edmonton tonight in San Jose. But if you can come home with a 4-3 record on the trip, you'll take it. You'll take that in 7 games on the road. It's a long trip to be away.
Well, a man who's in the middle of that long trip right now, the great analyst for the Chicago Blackhawks here on 720 WGN, Troy Murray, joins us. Troy, welcome. Thanks for taking some time this afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's beautiful out here in San Jose, and hopefully the Blackhawks will play a good game here tonight to get the record, a game over the 500 mark on this trip.
Yeah, so far, as I was listening the other night, you made this statement. Look, the Hawks are 2-2 on this circus trip, and at this point, that's not so bad, right?
It's not bad. But
it's not what they want, obviously.
It's not bad, but you know, if you look at it, the Calgary game was a tough one. They pulled it out in the last minute or so with Marian Hossa's goal. They were down 3-0 against the Vancouver Canucks. They came back and won that game in overtime. The record could be worse than 2-2, and this is not an easy stretch of the trip here. 3-4 nights against the Sharks, the Ducks, and the Kings. So they've got to play better hockey to make sure that this record comes at least 500 on the way home.
Well, the knock against the Hawks, who again, we can't stress enough, they do lead the Western Conference with 28 points. But the knock so far this season has been them getting off to slow starts. And Coach Q has called that ordinary, which seems to translate into something worse than ordinary for the layman. If in Coach Q speak, what do the Hawks do to overcome that? Because it seems like it's taken a little while, and then late in the first period or in the second period, that's when they decide to kick in.
Well, I've always said this, and this it's so true, that this core group of guys has so much belief in their ability to pick it up when they need to win games, to get points into games. But that's also a very dangerous formula if you're looking for overall success. And if you look at going into the third period against the Winnipeg Jets, I think there was a belief that they could come back in that game. All of a sudden, there was a kind of a fluky goal that they scored, two quick ones, and it's down 3-0. The game's over. You look at the game in Vancouver, they're down 3-0. There was a belief, and I was talking to some of the guys, that they said, we can come back. We're better than this. They were able to do it. You know, the core group of guys are the guys that kind of got to lead the charge right off the bat here. And it's just you're playing with fire if you want to chase the game all these times. And most of these victories that the Blackhawks have had this season, at some point they're chasing the game. They've scored late goals and then won it in overtime. In the long run, that's not good. And when Joel Quenneville says, you know, okay or so-so, that means it's not very good. So they need to get off to a better start here tonight. San Jose came off maybe one of their best overall games of the season, winning 4-0 the other night. So they're excited. It's always a tough building to play in. The Blackhawks better be ready and not chase the score in this one.
Hey, Muzz, we know about that top-line lottery spot, the left-wing spot with Taves and Kane. They've been trying to fill that ever since Brandon Saad left for Columbus. Tonight I saw Hinostroza probably tonight. They've put Ponick there. Mott has been there. Schmaltz has been there. Can Joel Quenneville keep rotating that throughout the season, or does he eventually have to find somebody and keep him there?
When somebody fits in nicely and plays well for a long stretch of time, he'll be there. But, you know, they're looking for that consistency. You got it maybe from Panic at the beginning of the season. Hinostroza's going to play there. But it's interesting what Joel Quenneville did with his lines this morning. It's Hinostroza, Taves, and Marian Hossa. Patrick Kane is going to move down and play with Panarin and Anisimov. That line was so dangerous last year. They're going to reunite that line together. And maybe Marian Hossa, as hot as he's been with 10 goals in the last 13 game, 11 on the season, reunite him with Jonathan Toews and see if Hinostroza can't spark that line as a whole. But interesting that Joel Quenneville is gone back to that second line, if you want to call it that, of Panarin, Nisimov, and Kane for this game tonight. But yes, the position for left wing with Jonathan Toews has always been something that Joel's looking for, somebody that's like to step up and grab it and not let go of it with consistency.
Troy, the penalty kill had been doing really well up until Saturday. Then over the last couple games, the Hawks allowed 3 goals in 6 kill opportunities. Monday, everybody just seemed off. Can we chalk up Monday's inability to kill the penalty to that, or is there a deeper problem?
I'd like to say that it was just, kind of a one and done. Everything was going wrong against the Edmonton Oilers, but it was the Edmonton Oilers that they forced the issue. They certainly deserved to win that game the way that they did. They outclassed the Blackhawks through most of the 60 minutes, even though there were some good shot totals for the Blackhawks, but nothing in the middle of the ice. If you look at the power play at the beginning of the season, it was performing fairly well. The penalty killing obviously was off to a horrendous start. It's kind of flopped a little bit now here, where the power play has cooled off. The penalty killing, as you mentioned, before the game in Edmonton, they had only given up 3 power play goals in the last 11 games, mm-hmm. And that included the one in the Vancouver game. Couple goals in the game last night, or the game a couple nights ago in Edmonton, and really 3 power play goals, because Marcus Kruger, I don't even know if he stepped on the ice. The door might have opened. But really, it was 3 power play goals. So that is a concern, whichever way you want to sugarcoat or look at it. They've got to turn things around. And I always talk about special teams on the road as being one of the keys to the hockey game, because you can't use the energy inside the United Center when you're on the road. And when you have opportunities to make the difference on the power play or on the penalty kill, especially when you're on road, you have to get the job done. And the power play hasn't been very good as of late. They've given up shorthanded goals against. They're tied for the most in the league, which is concerning. And they don't have a shorthanded goal yet. So special teams got to turn it around.
The Tribune reported, I think it was last Monday, that the circus trip in its current state, the 2-week trip, won't happen after this season. If you could go back to being a young player, though, Troy, and you look around this Blackhawks roster, lots of rookies. How important is that first road trip with your team as a young 20, 21, 22-year-old player?
You know what? I'll tell you what. I think it's really important for those young players. And as a player, and even as a broadcaster, I don't have an issue with this road trip. You're putting a lot of games in, and if you look at the travel once you get out to the West, I mean, why not play all the teams? If you get up to Western Canada, why not play all of the teams? Doesn't make sense to travel out, go back, come back another time. So I've always liked this circus trip. I think there's a lot more made of it in a negative light than there really should be. The players kind of enjoy it. The one thing that kind of threw a little kink into this one was playing Winnipeg on a Tuesday and then not playing Calgary until Friday. It extended it another 4 days with only one game being played, so it's ended up being a longer time on the road. But normally it's 6 in about 10 or 11 days, 12 days, and you come home and you've had an opportunity to find a day or two to have that bonding that you were talking about for some of these younger players. But for a good team to come on the road, it's not a bad thing. You get rid of all these road games in a row, and you take care of them. You look at the home-heavy schedule to begin with, where the Blackhawks have only lost once in regulation. Now you fill up the schedule with these road games. You come back and you've basically played the amount of home as you have on the road. So I haven't had an issue with it, but I know the younger guys they like being on the road and they don't have any family responsibilities or kids that they're missing back home. For the older guys like myself or some of the older players, the one thing that's a little bit disappointing is you miss the Thanksgiving week where, I look at my family. I've got everybody home this week and I'm not going to see them at all on this trip. And that's kind of the when you get a little bit older, you start missing some of the family commitments around Thanksgiving that you'd like to be home in Chicago for.
Speaking of Thanksgiving, tomorrow's the day. Are you going to go out, Troy? Are you going to sit in the room and order pizza? What's the Troy Murray Thanksgiving going to look like?
Well, the Blackhawks are such a classy organization that at the hotel that we'll stay at in L.A., everybody who's with the team traveling on this road trip is invited to the Thanksgiving dinner that they set up at the hotel for the team with, and they have obviously a great dinner for the players. They set up big TVs in there so you can watch the football games, kind of hang out, and have the family you know, as a team on the road, replace the family that you're missing at home. It's always good, and I always enjoy it. And, you know, for the Blackhawks to include everybody who's traveling with the team, a real nice gesture, because it's tough to go find something to do on a day like Thanksgiving.
Yeah, no, that's very cool, and I'm glad everybody gets to be together and celebrate. Before we let you go, real quick, you mentioned the Hawks have to get off to a quick start tonight. The special teams have to step up. Anything else they need to do for success tonight in San Jose?
Well, I think if you look at San Jose, they allow the fewest shots per game in the National Hockey League. So I think the Blackhawks are really going to have to stress getting a lot of pucks to the front of the net. But getting pucks to the front of the net has to include players being in that area as well to create havoc, get those second and third opportunities. I think they got to have a real big focus on that here tonight for a team that doesn't give up a whole lot defensively.
Well, Troy, we appreciate the time. We'll be listening to you tonight. Say hi to John and happy Thanksgiving.
Well, thanks for having me on. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody back home.
We'll talk to you soon, Troy. Take care. That's a great Troy Murray. He is in San Jose. The Hawks play the San Jose Sharks tonight at 9. Pregame with Judd Surratt at 8:30. Before we go up to the traffic trouble spot,